Hello, folks. This is Will Aitchison with LRIS. Hey, I know you're probably tired of hearing from me right now. I've done a lot of these podcasts in the last few days, but I feel compelled to do one more. It's not going to be as long as others, but I feel it's absolutely necessary. We are seeing our first wave of disciplinary cases resulting from police officers making social media posts, mostly about the protests, but also about the George Floyd incident itself. And we are seeing employers take action in response to these posts, action that is very different than I have seen in the past. In the past, you would see employers treat potentially inappropriate social media posts much the same way they would any other potential disciplinary offense. You'd see an investigation that would be referred to internal affairs, might take months to finish, get wrapped up. You'd have a pre-disciplinary hearing and then a final disciplinary decision. Now we're seeing disciplinary decisions within a matter of days, and they're almost always terminations. Now, I know potentially there are some due process issues with handling a disciplinary case that fast. I know potentially there are contractual issues. There may be some issues under a peace officer's Bill of Rights. But why take the chance on any of that? I think we need to head this issue off at the source. Now, I'm not going to spend any time at all in this podcast talking about the social media posts that have resulted in police officers losing their jobs, many of them, within the last week. You know what those posts are like. You can go find them. Yeah, even if you don't know precisely what they are, I think you have a pretty good idea, right? I'm not going to spend any time on that. Instead, what I'm going to do is something very different for me. I'm going to move to a segment of this podcast where I'm going to create something that if you feel it's useful, you should use to play for police officers, in fact, all public safety employees who you either represent or you employ. It's going to be direct. It's going to be to the point. I'm going to do a very, very short introduction as to who I am so that people can hear that and know that I'm not speaking off the top of my head about all of this stuff. And I'm going to lay out 10 rules for what they should and should not be doing with respect to social media posts. I'm going to start by addressing the whole notion that some law enforcement officers still have in their heads, some notion that there is some special constitutional protections given to social media posts. And this is an area, this whole area of free speech is an area that to me is like the most pertinent example of what I think of as, not I think of, what is known as in social science as the Dunning-Kruger effect. What's the Dunning-Kruger effect? It's something that's well established in social science research, and it basically is the less we know about something, the more certain we are of it. And I find public safety employees absolutely certain that what they say on social media is constitutionally protected. And that certainty is without the benefit of having read one case on the issue. I want to try to pierce that in these 10 rules that I'm going to give you. And mostly what I want to try to do here is give you the tools that you hopefully can use in communicating with your members, whether you play what I'm about to record or you simply restate it in your own words. I'm going to give you the tools that hopefully will save some jobs, because right now we are seeing police around the country lose their jobs at an unprecedented rate because of their social media posts. I've got dozens of articles that I've read about this from around the country in the last 2 days. We don't need any more of this. We are losing some good people to this phenomenon. Let's stop it. So with that, let me get into that short introduction, and then we're going to go through the 10 rules that I'm recommending that every public safety employee follow with respect to social media posts. My name is Will Aitchison. For more than 30 years, I have represented police and fire unions around the country. I've also written a series of books about the employment rights of public safety employees. I just finished updating the 8th edition of my book, The Rights of Law Enforcement Officers, and I put together chapters on free speech and social media use by law enforcement officers. In the process, I read more than 1,000 cases decided by courts in the last 5 years involving the discipline of public safety employees for social media use. And I'm tired. I am tired of seeing public safety employees fired for what they posted on social media and seeing those terminations upheld by the courts and by arbitrators. What I have done is to put together a set of 10 rules that I would recommend that every public safety employee follow before making a social media post. These rules are designed to help you keep your job. With that, let's get to the rules. Number one, your First Amendment rights are very limited. There are a series of Supreme Court cases that pretty much end the possibility of successful First Amendment free speech lawsuits by public employees. If I read 1,000 cases, and I read more than that, but just to do the math easier, if I read 1,000 cases on free speech and public safety employees decided over the last 5 years, what percentage do you think public safety employees won of those free speech cases? I calculated it. It's less than 1%. Courts are just simply terrible now in terms of recognizing free speech rights for public safety employees in general and police officers in particular. They give employers significant latitude to discipline employees for statements that they make on social media, whether those are statements that are ones that they have crafted themselves or whether they are reposting something that someone else has already posted on social media. You need to understand there is no special constitutional protection for posts on social media. Number two, just because something is an internet meme doesn't mean you can repost it with impunity. Many of the cases where police officers have been disciplined, not just in the last week, but also over the course of the last 5 years, where they've been disciplined, where they've been terminated for social media posts, many of those cases involve them reposting a meme. When you repost it, you own it. It's like you said it yourself. It doesn't matter if you got it from a police officer Facebook page, and I know they're out there, and I know they generate these memes, but if something is a meme, it does not insulate you from liability in a disciplinary sense one bit. Rule number three, nothing you post online is truly private. To be sure, you need to be checking your privacy settings on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, whatever it is you're using. But remember, Anybody who sees what you post can forward it to somebody else or take a screenshot of it. And we have disciplinary cases involving both of those things. Nothing you post is truly private, even if you're in a private group. Rule number four, just a bit of advice. Ask yourself, if my employer gets a complaint about what I'm going to post, how will my employer react? If the answer is not so well, it's going to irritate them, or they'll start a disciplinary investigation, ask yourself, is the post really worth it? Rule number five, particularly in the times we're in right now, try to confine yourself to purely positive posts or posts that don't have anything to do with what is going on in the law enforcement environment. It's when you get into commenting about the protests or the police reactions to the protests or the protesters' reactions to the police reactions to the protests, that's where you get into trouble. Keep that stuff off limits. Number six, if you have the slightest doubt about whether to post something, the slightest inkling that there may be an adverse response to it, sleep on it. Why does anybody need to make a social media post right now? Give it 24 hours, then come back to it and decide whether or not it's worth making that post. Just as importantly, ask a fellow officer, somebody you think of, somebody you respect, someone who has the respect of others in your department, show them your draft post and ask them what they think. We've got many examples right now of these social media posts that are made by police officers who've gotten fired for them, where when you look at the comments that others are making, that friends are making to those posts, those friends are other police officers who are saying something like, hey, dude, why are you posting this stuff? Why not get that reaction before you make the post? Number seven, think, who are your friends on social media? Are they a tight-knit group, or do they include some people from all over the country who you may or may not even personally know? I'll tell you, a bunch of these social media disciplinary cases involve somebody from Florida complaining about a post that somebody in Phoenix made. And when the Phoenix officer sees that post and sees the complaint, the officer says, who is this person who complained? And guess what? They're on their friends list. Rule number eight. Can someone figure out that I'm a police officer from my social media profile or from my prior post? If the answer to that is yes, if a reasonably clever individual can figure out that you are a police officer, and by reasonably clever, I mean, can they backtrack and check your name against a list of employees that your employer posts online? If a reasonably intelligent person can figure out that you're a police officer, then you will be treated as posting that under the aegis of being a police officer, which carries with it a great deal more responsibility. Rule number nine. We're living in an age of Brady versus Maryland, when officers are being placed on Brady lists for all sorts of reasons, not just because they've been dishonest in the past. Remember, one of the things that has to be disclosed under the Brady rule is any evidence that an officer might have been guilty of discriminatory conduct or bias. Can your credibility be called into question by what you've posted online? If so, don't post it. And then lastly, before you make a post that you think might be controversial. Before you get out there and say what you think needs to be said about the incredible disruptions that we are going through in our society right now, before you comment on a protester or a politician or any of the players in this national drama that we're in right now, I want you to think. Think about your job. I want you to think about your family. And I want you to think about your safety, because people backtrack on these posts and they can find you. If you give that process, thinking through all of those things, a chance to live, you may retain your job. But if you just go ahead and post things thoughtlessly, if you just post things to stir the pot, and there are people who have done that, if you post things just because you think they need saying, that's when you're putting your jobs at risk. So follow these 10 rules, and we won't have another public safety employee in this country lose their job to a tweet or to a Facebook post or whatever it might be. Thanks for listening. This is Will Aitchison signing off.